them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Amen. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Grads, you made it! Exciting! This is great! This is wonderful! You know, and I think all of you have really turned out great. And you know, that doesn't always pan out right. You turned out great. You did. But I was listening to two men said, my college really turned out some great graduates. He goes, "When did you graduate?" He goes, "I didn't. They turned me out." But you guys did it. You've made it. You've made it this far now. The next step is coming up. And you've learned a lot from your teachers. I'm sure you've learned a lot more from your parents. You learned a lot from the church and from the people who are around you. You're older now, much wiser. I love the pictures. It shows you, you know, through all those stages of life, and that was wonderful. And your church now wants to encourage you to commit your ways to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you go from this place, we are praying that you go filled with the Holy Spirit, going out there to stay on the path that God has for you, always knowing that there are trials, greater trials, out there in the world. Like Kenny. Kenny took his report card to his teacher, and there was a big red F on his report card. He turned that back over to the teacher, says, "I'm going to advise you to change that F to a passing grade." She goes, "Why would I do that?" "Because my daddy said if I bring home one more failing report card, someone's going to get a beating." But it's not just the students that have had hard times. Teachers have hard times in the school. One guy had a back injury over the summer, and his first day of school, he was transferred to a kind of a rough, tough inner-city school, and he wore a body cast under his shirt. Now, you couldn't really tell. It was one of them plaster ones, real thin, and it just was designed to keep his back straight. And he had made up a plan to get the discipline in this class from day one. So he went in, opened up a window, and some of the papers flew off of his desk, and he picked them up, and he took that stapler and stapled them to the desk. Then his tie started flying around, so he took it, and he stapled it to his chest. Never had a problem out of any of those kids having done that. I want to encourage you as students, I want to encourage you as a church, as a Christian, to walk confidently in the Lord. I want you to take from this day, as we send these graduates off, as we celebrate with them, it's an exciting time for them, but we want to bring a message for the graduate that also is for you. How many of you graduates said, "I can't wait until I graduate because then I will be able to do whatever I want"? Don't raise your hand. Just think about that. I can now do whatever I want. You guys remember that, don't you? Some of you others that have graduated a year or two or 10 or 20 ago, guess what? The time's now. It's now ready to do whatever you want to do. Kinda. See, what many new graduates and many of us not so new graduates fail to realize is that freedom isn't what you expected it to be. You do not really get to do what you want to do. So now what? That's the name of the message. Now what? Now that we've graduated, now that we've taken this new step in our life, now what? Well, now it's up to you to start making crucial decisions for yourself. And I want to warn you, there will be some hurdles for you graduates to jump. As a graduate, and really this pertains to everyone who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be problems that will arise in your life that you're going to have to face. There will be those who will hinder you from your walk with Jesus. There will be temptations that will try to get you to turn away from the faith. So I want to encourage you as young people. I want to encourage you as a church to keep the faith. I thank you, Nevaeh, for reading our text today. Mark chapter 13, we heard this wonderful story in the Word of God where these children are brought to Jesus. And it was his disciples that tried to hinder the children from coming to Jesus for a blessing. And Jesus used that for a teaching opportunity for his disciples, and I think for us today. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not associating children with what I see here before me, your young men and women. So it's not just a little children's story. It's for all of us. Because I want to do the same thing that Jesus did. I want to take this story and I want to compare that with our experience as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So before you go off to college, before you go off onto this next step in your career, I want you to consider your walk with Jesus. And again, this is for everyone. I'm not just going to concentrate on the graduates. All of us can take, whether we're 8 or 88, we can all take something away from this message. Here's our first point today. There will be people who will try to prevent you from getting to God. There will be people who are going to hinder you from getting to God. Now, it was the disciples in our text that tried to keep the children from coming to Christ. The disciples. Christians, these were ones who were believers. And I'm sure that they thought that Jesus was just too busy to be disturbed by children. In fact, the text in King James says they rebuked the children. That's a strong word. In other words, it wasn't a little thing that said, hey, he's busy right now. Maybe you can come back a little bit later. No, that's not what they said. What they were saying was, how dare you even think about getting close to Jesus, he's got bigger things to do. See, people, some with good intentions, are going to try to keep you from walking closer to the Lord. In our text, it was the disciples. All too often, we who consider ourselves Christians prevent others from coming to God. Now, we may not intend to do that, but often because of our actions, because of our language, because of our behavior, we keep others from feeling welcome or from feeling free to come to Christ. There are many that use your words, your actions, your behavior as an excuse not to come to Christ. I'm sure you've heard someone say that, I don't go to church because all those hypocrites down there at the church. What a bunch of malarkey. I'll tell you what, that is the biggest lie I've ever heard. Listen, never have I ever met more hypocrites than I have that work down at Walmart. Listen, you go to Walmart, and the first thing they say is, welcome to Walmart, we're glad to see you. But every one of them, almost every one of them, hate their job. They hate their boss, they hate their pay. How dare they say welcome? What a bunch of hypocrites. But I still go there. And so do you. There's a lot of places that you know that they're just hypocritical, but we still attend. And that's what I say to people when they tell me, I don't go to church because all the hypocrites. I say, where can you go where there's no hypocrites? People have the tendency to want to keep you operating at their level so that they can feel better about themselves. You heard the expression, misery loves company. Well, it fits here today. See, a non-Christian, or even a backslidden Christian, will feel very uncomfortable around you when you live your life for Jesus in a world that doesn't live for Jesus. You go off to college, you go off out of the city, you go into your job right here, and you're going to make people feel uncomfortable if you are a born-again, let-it-shine Christian. You just let the love of Jesus flow from you. They're not going to like that. They're going to want to drag you down to their level. Quit being so happy. Wipe that smile off your face. Get grumpy like the rest of us. Start talking bad about everybody like the rest of us. Start doing the things that we're doing so we can feel better about ourselves. I've heard this from so many students. When they go off to college, one of the first classes a lot of them have to take is a world religion class. And if they proclaim to be a Christian, the teacher really zeroes in on them throughout the rest of the class and ridicules them for their faith until they're so discouraged, it causes them to backslide. Realize that no matter how big, how small the problem is, the issue is, we have a God who loves us. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what that teacher says. We are going to keep on living for Jesus. Too many times, we believe that our lives are insignificant. What does God care about me? God cares about every one of you, especially you graduates, as you go out from this place. God has a plan for you, a purpose for you. He has something for your life. Now listen, the world problems are bigger than our problems. They really are. But God loves us so much that he wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. So never buy into the lie that you cannot approach the throne of God, because that's where we find grace. That's where we find mercy. That's where we find help in time of trouble. Your situation is exactly why Jesus lived on this earth, died on the cross, was risen on the third day. That's why he defeated the grave and death, so that you could live your life for him with purpose. He did this so you could approach the throne of grace. It's this simple. When you choose to believe, no matter the cost, Jesus is always going to come to be with you, by your side. We sang about the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is the paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside of us. He encourages us. He lives within us. He goes before us. That's what he did with these children. Jesus did with these children. He let them know they were important. He said, don't hinder them from coming. Encourage them to come to me. Jesus wanted all to come to him. The next lesson we learn, and this again is for everyone here, whether you're graduating or starting a new job or you're just moving into a new area of life. Number two, life begins with God, not with graduation. Life begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after the promotion, after the new move, it's not when everything gets turned around. It is when you come to Jesus as a child, like our text says. That's what turns your life around. I can remember thinking that once I was outside of the home, life begins. Isn't that the way we think? We think as soon as I can get out of the reach of my parents, presto, life's problems are over. I can do what I want. We can't wait till graduation. I find myself always hoping for, waiting for the next thing in my life, even to this day. I can't wait for the weekend. I really can't. And not just to be off of work. I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait to be here with you, shaking hands, talking to people, learning about your week. I just love that part. Maybe some of you can identify with me. You know, after graduation, I couldn't wait. I had already joined the Air Force. I couldn't wait for that bus to pick me up. I got into the Air Force. I couldn't wait to get out of the Air Force. When I got out of the Air Force, I couldn't wait to get married. And when I got married, I just couldn't wait to get out and earn some money to support my family. Couldn't wait to have children. Couldn't wait for my children to get out of the house. I couldn't wait to become a pastor. That's just my life. I just couldn't wait for whatever's next. We wish our lives away, desperately yearning for the time that we can make decisions for ourselves, out on our own, Mr. Independent, nobody telling me what to do. Then you get a job and you have a boss and he tells you what to do. There's a reason we get this all jumbled. We do not understand what freedom really means. We think freedom means I can do what I want, I can go where I want. True freedom is a chance to do what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. Real freedom is a chance to do what is right. True freedom doesn't make selfish decisions, but decisions based on God's will, on God's word. And listen, God's will isn't easy, graduates. God's will isn't always going to be fun. It's going to be tough. But doing God's will is always right. It will always be a blessing. It will always make your life better. This world wants to sell you their version of life. There are commercials that tell you that if you drink their drink, you will have the high life. You'll have the good life. If you do this, you're going to have a better life. The world wants us to believe that life is about material possessions. The biggest, the best, the prettiest. The one who has all the gold rules. The one who has all the toys wins. The only problem with that lifestyle, when does it end? We live in a day and time that owning the best can and will only last until tomorrow. Let's use computers. You go out and buy a brand new computer, top of the line. In about a year, it's a dinosaur. You've got to go buy a new one or upgrade this one. In fact, I don't think I've ever bought a computer that I didn't get home and have to upgrade it right away. That's how things change in this world. They say the moment that you drive your car, brand new car, off the lot, it drops in value considerably. That's just life today. Here's a lesson that we need to learn to start our journey today. Don't allow the worldly possessions, the worldly viewpoint, to influence your spiritual decisions. All of the components that make up the good life begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the parents of these children in our text that we read about, they knew that. They knew that it begins with this man, Jesus. That's why they wanted them to go to him, to be blessed by him. I love verse 16. It says, he took them up in his arms. The children finally came to him. He takes them children up into his arms. He puts his hands on them and he blesses them. That's my prayer for everyone up here on the second pew. I pray that God just takes you into his arms, that he just holds you there. He puts his hand upon you and he blesses everything you do. Live your life in the arms of Christ. Jesus offers abundant life. He said, I've come that they might have life and that life more abundantly. So don't buy into this world's materialism. It only lasts for a day. Make sure you have the treasure that is eternal. There's a third lesson in this text. Number three, wisdom comes from God, not from grades. The world wants you to believe in yourself, and that's not a bad characteristic. But you need to believe in yourself for the right reason. You need to have a good self-image for the right reason and for the right cause. The reason that you should have a good self-image, Christian graduates, church members, is that you are a child of God. You are to have a good self-image because you have been made in the image of God. You should believe in yourself, but not believe in yourself alone. You are who you are because of what you are in the Lord. Paul said, I can do all things, period. No. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we need wisdom, if we need to know something, where should we go? We don't depend on ourselves, not solely. Some of you, I'm so proud of y'all who graduated college already, got a college degree just getting out of high school. It just amazes me, and praise God for that. You're going to probably be able to whiz through school, but smarts is different than wisdom. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not unto our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our path. Proverbs 19, chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, that is understanding. I'm glad you're going, if you're going to go get an education further, that's great. But education must function with God in your life. I believe that the desire to learn is biblical. You know, Jesus grew. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 says Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom and in favor with God and man. Physically growing is not the only way that we grow. We have to grow in wisdom, grow in understanding. But my point is this, that we should not base our self-esteem on our ability to make grades. You can be a genius and still not be very smart. And I mean that with all respect. We have to realize that God is the only one who is all-knowing. And no matter how much knowledge that I might have, I need God's wisdom to put that knowledge into proper use. So we need to know Jesus. We need to come to him and ask him for our next step. And one last thing I want to share with you before we close. This really isn't a lesson from the text. It is, but it's an encouragement to all of you that are here. Number four, you can have none of the good life until you come as a child. Jesus said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. The world is going to try to tell you to, in order to obtain the good life, you have to have it all together. We envy those people who seem to have it all together. And then we find out later in a docudrama how they didn't have it all together in about 5 years. See, we place them on a pedestal. We make an idol out of them, an icon out of them. The bottom line is no human has ever had it all together. No human knows everything. So we can't get it together without Jesus. Boy, if I knew how to get it all together, I'd come up with a formula. I'd market it. I'd sell it. I'd be a millionaire. To teach you how to get it all together, I have one formula, and that's the Word of God. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, as a child. The infomercials that you see on TV, they're just lying to you. They don't have a pill. They don't have a plan. They don't have anything that's going to give it to you. It's only going to come to you by coming to Christ as a child. See, the answer to some degree is simple. There is a good life. The good life is the life that Jesus said, I've come to give you, a life more abundant. But that doesn't always translate into cars and homes and money and big toys. It does translate into something much more important. It translates, when you come to him as a child, it translates into you having a relationship with the Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. You can walk with him and talk with him. He'll be with you every step of the way in your life. Through Jesus, we're offered the free gift of salvation. That's what you get when you come as a child. It comes with all of the promises of God that he has for you in his word. You have the right to enter into the presence of God anytime, all the time, as long as you want. He's user-friendly. You'll have peace in the midst of the storms of life. You'll be adopted into the family of God. You become the son of God. But the first requirement is that you come as a child. Some people can't do that. They can't come as a child. They think, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get saved my way. I'm going to be good enough. You're going to see when I get to heaven, Jesus and I, we've got a plan. We've talked it out. I'm going to do it my way. No, that doesn't work. You can only come through Jesus Christ. Humble yourself as a little child. Verse 16 of our text, and we close. He took them up in his arms. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Our God always stands with his arms wide open, ready to receive whosoever will come. If you will diligently seek him, if you will humble yourself, even as a child. Ask him into your heart. Ask him into your life today. You will be saved. Wednesday night, I was sitting in the church library, and I got reacquainted with a little book I read a long time ago called Pilgrim's Progress. I think it's hundreds of years old, I think, but it was such a powerful book about this man named Christian who is on his way to the celestial city. And all along that path that he was on, there were other people trying to get Christian off the path. As you head off on this next phase of your life, you're going to encounter some people who are going to want to get you off that path. They're going to try to make you feel bad about who you are and what you are as a Christian. You have to be careful. There's vultures on the path. Vultures who want to get your eyes. That's what a vulture does. First thing a vulture does is picks out your eyes when you're laying on the ground. He doesn't want you to see the truth. So beware of the vultures. Stay on the path. The path will lead you to the Father's house. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to help you to know him. We're going to have a time of invitation in just a moment. And during that invitation, if you don't know Jesus, let me speak to you just for a few minutes here this morning before we leave. I want you to know how you can be saved. You can come to him and have everlasting life and that life more abundant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these graduates and for what is ahead of them. They do have the whole world before them. God, I pray that they will choose to follow you each and every day of their life, to be in your word, to be in prayer. God, every day that they would seek to know your purpose for them, that they would always be in the family of God, in church, no matter where they go off. Go to that Baptist campus ministry, get involved. God, that they will serve you all the days of their life. Build a hedge of protection around each one of them and keep them safe as they go to the next adventure. And God, for those that are in this sanctuary today who may not know you, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. And Jesus, that you would have the Holy Spirit just begin to convict them of their need for a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. You came and died on the cross. Thank you that on the third day you were raised from the dead. And you have ascended to the right hand of God the Father, interceding, praying for those that are in this service right here today. Bless them with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand together and as we sing, you come for salvation, you come for church membership, whatever your need may be. You may come.